And then back at Frankie, trying to confirm to whom exactly she's talking. I point to myself. Do you mean me? Frankie has very little patience. Yes, Monique, you. That's why I said, Monique, can you come into my office? Sorry, I just heard the last part. Frankie turns, I grab my notepad and follow her. There is something very striking about Frankie. I'm not sure that you'd say she was conventionally attractive. Her features are severe, her eyes very wide apart. But she is nevertheless someone you can't help but look at and admire. With her thin, 6-foot-tall frame, her short-cropped afro, and her affinity for bright colors and big jewelry, when Frankie walks into a room, everyone takes notice. She was part of the reason I took this job. I have looked up to her since I was in journalism school, reading her pieces in the very pages of the magazine she now runs and I now work for. And if I'm being honest, there is something very inspiring about having a black woman running things. As a biracial woman myself, light brown skin and dark brown eyes courtesy of my black father, an abundance of face freckles courtesy of my white mother, Frankie makes me feel more sure that I can one day run things too. Take a seat, Frankie says as she sits down and gestures toward an orange chair on the opposite side of her lucite desk. I calmly sit and cross my legs. I let Frankie talk first. So, puzzling turn of events, she says, looking at her computer. Evelyn Hugo's people are inquiring about a feature, an exclusive interview. My gut instinct is to say, holy shit, but also, why are you telling me this? About what in particular? I ask. My guess is it's related to the gown auction she's doing, Frankie says. My understanding is that it's very important to her to raise as much money for the American Breast Cancer Foundation as possible. But they won't confirm that? Frankie shakes her head. All they will confirm is that Evelyn has something to say. Evelyn Hugo is one of the biggest movie stars of all time. She doesn't even have to have something to say for people to listen. This could be a big cover for us, right? I mean, she's a living legend. Wasn't she married 8 times or something? 7, Frankie says. And yes, this has huge potential, which is why I hope you'll bear with me through the next part of this. What do you mean? Frankie takes a big breath and gets a look on her face that makes me think I'm about to get fired. But then she says, Evelyn specifically requested you. Me? This is the second time in the span of 5 minutes that I've been shocked that someone was interested in speaking to me. I need to work on my confidence. Suffice it to say, it's taken a beating recently, although why pretend it was ever really soaring?
To be honest, that was my reaction too, Frankie says.
Now I'll be honest. I'm a little offended, although obviously I can see where she's coming from. I've been at Vivant for less than a year, mostly doing puff pieces. Before that, I was blogging for The Discourse, a current events and culture site that calls itself a news magazine, but is effectively a blog with punchy headlines. I wrote mainly for the Modern Life section, covering trending topics and opinion pieces. After years of freelancing, The Discourse gig was a lifesaver. But when Vivant offered me the job, I couldn't help myself. I jumped at the chance to join an institution, to work among legends. On my first day of work, I walked past walls decorated with iconic, culture-shifting covers. The one of women's activist Debbie Palmer, naked and carefully posed, standing on top of a skyscraper overlooking Manhattan in 1984. The one of artist Robert Turner in the act of painting a canvas while the text declared that he had AIDS back in 1991. It felt surreal to be a part of the Vivant world. I have always wanted to see my name on its glossy pages. But unfortunately, for the past 12 issues, I've done nothing but ask old guard questions of people with old money, while my colleagues back at The Discourse are attempting to change the world while going viral.